All right. Thank you, Brother Luke. He gives grace. Amen. Appreciate Luke. He's a talented young man playing and singing. And this morning he was playing the guitar for somebody else to sing, I think. And you can hear he and Jesse on the radio together. They have a good time in the afternoon and traveling home time of the day. And we appreciate him very much. Open your Bibles tonight to the Old Testament. We're going to find somewhere to go as soon as I open mine. All right, I'm playing with you some. I do have a general idea where I want to go. I've got to skip around because the deacons have threatened me if I preach too long tonight. We got too many other things going on. Fellow had to leave his church. And they said, why? He said, well, I had throat trouble. They said, what was that? He said, the deacons promised to cut my throat if I didn't leave. So that does, I guess, happen sometime. Why don't you go to 2 Kings chapter 22. I'm just going to hit a few verses to get a setting of a story. You know, as you look through the Old Testament, you find the rise and fall of the leadership of Israel. You find how they got in trouble with God, and God raised up somebody good to get them out of trouble. Next thing you know, somebody else bad came along and got them back in trouble. And if you were to put a graph on it, it would just go up and down as you followed the nation of Israel through the Old Testament. There's a good lesson for us in that. And the parallel is very, very apparent. Even the day and time we live in, we certainly ought to be able to see it. I want to introduce you to a young man named Josiah. He's 8 years old when they set him on the throne. His grandpa has really got him in trouble. His grandpa Manasseh has done great evil in the eyes of God. And then the son of Manasseh came along and continued in his father's way. But now comes along a grandson by the name of Josiah. He's only 8 years old here in chapter 22, verse 1. They put him in there. And it says in verse 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father, that'd be his grandfather, and turned not aside, that'd be his great-grandfather, turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, he did a lot of things. Brother, he had a lot of cleaning up to do. He got rid of the sodomite houses. He done some things that our nation needs cleaning up today. And the last president has done some cleaning up, but brother, we had a dirty house. That's all there is to it. And just a bad deal. Too much. But if I was going to title this a little talk here for the tape room, I'd call it Too Little, Too Late. Or Too Late, Too Little, whichever one. It equals the same thing, I guess. But I want you to look at it also over in chapter 23 of 2 Kings. God blessed Josiah. He blessed his work. He came in, he was cleaning up his grandpa's mess. But I want to tell you something. His grandpa had angered God greatly. He had done so much wrong, so evil. And so here's a scary thought I want you to look at tonight in chapter 23 of 2 Kings in verse 26. Here's a word, it's actually three words together, I guess. You can find it in the Bible every now and then. And it says in verse 26 of 2 Kings 23, notwithstanding the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. Now, what is this saying that's so scary? God got so angry that even when a grandson came along and began to clean house, and God blessed him during that time, still God's anger was only postponed. It came back. A line had been crossed, so to speak, with God. Do you ever remember in school when we were, especially in grammar school, this is back before it became a criminal act, little boys could go out and wrestle and fight and fisticuffs in school and not go to jail over it. Anybody remember that? Amen. Now they got to wait till they get out of school and get on the street. Still don't go to jail. Well, anyway, you ever remember this? I double dog dare you. Remember that? Did you ever take your toe and draw a line in the sand and say, I dare you to step over that line. And then he did. Then you backed up and drew another line. Oh, we just, you remember days like that, don't you? Sometimes kids act out in reality. The previous president drew a red line in Syria and it didn't mean a thing, remember? Remember he told them they couldn't use that poisonous gas on their own people, but they did. When President Trump come in, they did it again, and he had threatened them, and he did something. He hit them hard. Hit them hard. You remember that? I'm saying to you, though, that you can cross a line with God when it's too late. Too little, too late. And that was the case here in the days of Josiah. And God let him go out in battle against the Pharaoh of Egypt, and Pharaoh killed him. It was God's timing to take him out, but God used him for a period of time. But then God's wrath returned because of all his grandfather Manasseh had done to the leadership and the governance of Israel. Now, God is long-suffering, but his wrath can be stored up. And it is going, you read your Bible, you find out in many, many cases what God prophesied was postponed for a number of years, but then it came. Then it came, and it happened just like God said that it would. Now, I apply that to America today in this sense. We really, really went so far to the left and so far wrong. I mean, elevating homosexuality and killing the babies and the whole nine yards that you can name. The perversion of America just going crazy. And all of a sudden, God threw a monkey wrench in it and brought in a man, a rough man, a man whose language needs his mouth washed out with soap sometime. But bless God, he's right on the issues. And so we may have bought some time. Is time about up? I hope not. I hope this election will buy us a few more years. I hope it will. But whether it does or not, God is going to have his way. And God has drawn a line in the sand. And the truth is, in the end, God's wrath is going to prevail against sin and against what is wrong. And his judgment is going to fall on it, just like he said throughout the Bible. And yes, I'd like to think we're buying some more time for our grandkids. I hope so. But has America crossed the line? You know, there are lines in the Bible that's very clear that you can cross. And for the sake of time, I'm going to only hit just a little bit of them very quickly tonight. But there is a line drawn in the Bible that you can cross. You can go too far, a point of no return. Have you ever been to Stone Mountain up in Georgia, and you've been up on top of that thing, and they got a fence down there, but they also got some signs, and it says, don't go beyond this point. Because you start going down that big rock, and all of a sudden you can't stop. You can cross a point of no return, and you'll just keep going. And the truth is, it's a danger zone in some of the rivers and rapids and other things that we know about where you can cross a point of no return. And I'm praying America has not crossed that point, but we may have. And if we have, it's in God's will. And you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ, we got the grace that Luke was singing about, and it's going to be all right. Amen. Somebody said, what if the far left and the socialist crowd wins this election? Well, all that tells me is Jesus is coming sooner. I believe that with all my heart. There's some lines you can cross with God. One of them we call the unpardonable sin. And there's a lot of discussion, a lot of fear concerning the unpardonable sin. It's not automatic cursing. Some folks think it is. You want to know what it is? It's plainly identified. And I will say this. Most folks that think they've committed the unpardonable sin have not committed it. And the devil uses it. But you want to turn over to Mark chapter 3 and pick it up with me in verse 30. Mark chapter 3 verse 30. You'll find out exactly what it is and why you can't commit it. You heard me. You probably can't commit it. Mark chapter 3, Jesus has been doing some miracles. Up in verse 22, the scribes have come down and they claim he's got his power from Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. That's how he's doing it. He's casting out devils with devils. No. Jesus rebukes them over that. And down in verse 28 of Mark chapter 3, he says, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgeven unto the souls of men, sons of men. And blasphemers, where withsoever they shall blaspheme. But here it is, verse 29, look at it, mark it. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now here it is, here's the key to it. Because they said he hath an unclean spirit. They said he has Beelzebub, the devil. Now I want to tell you something. Number one, this was the scribes and Pharisees. They did commit the unpardonable sin against Jesus. They said the power he's got is of the devil, not of the Holy Spirit. You'd have a hard time doing that today, but that was the unpardonable sin. And the blasphemers, all kind of blasphemers. Oh, we got it in the news today. We got people saying Jesus was not perfect. We got people saying this and that and the other. But the truth of the matter is, all of them will change it. They'll change their mind when they get sick enough and close enough to death. Every one of them will, if God gives them a chance. The Pharisees did commit this. They did cross the line, the red line that God had warned about here. But very few today can do that. Dr. Earl Lee's back there. He'll remember the story. In fact, he might have been there. There was a fellow in the big Christian school fight in Kentucky years ago. And after the good side, the Christian school side, had won, he still got up in the big meeting and started blaspheming again against God and dropped dead in front of that big crowd. You ask Dr. Lee the details on that. Yes, God can still act today. And you can cross the line with him today. You can go too far. And one of them is the unpardonable sin. But the good news is, those that have not crossed the line, you've done wrong by God and all that. But the truth of the matter is, if you have a desire to get saved, you are not guilty of having committed the unpardonable sin. The Holy Spirit is still speaking to you. Let me also say there's another line. That is, we'll call it the sin unto death. And I'll give you some verses. If you'll go over to 1 John chapter 5, and we'll look at some verses there. We'll call it the sin unto death, as the scripture basically calls it that. 1 John chapter 5, and here it is. It says in verse 16, 1 John chapter 5, if any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. But he also says there's a sin unto death. What line is that that you can cross with God that we call here a sin unto death? I'll tell you what it is. It's Christian disobedience. It's Christian blowing their testimony. It's Christians giving Jesus Christ, as it was, a black eye. Yeah, that's a danger zone that we better look out for today. Say, what is it? It's simply this: God calling one of his children home ahead of time. Calling them home and chastening. It's sort of like this. If a mother says to the little boy, now I got you dressed, we got to go uptown, I got you clean, and while I'm getting dressed, you stay inside. But while she's getting dressed, he runs outside and gets dirty. She grabs him up and has to clean him up again. This time you better stay in the house. You better not go out there again until I get ready. But when she gets ready, he's dirty again. I don't know how many mothers, mine would maybe do it twice. And after that, something about me would burn. Something would hurt. Amen? Well, God is no different. God chastens those that he loves, the Bible says, those that belong to him. And this sin unto death simply means God says, I've had enough. You've gone too far. You've crossed the line with me, and you've committed this sin. I'm going to take you on home. I'm going to deal with you. And you see Bible characters in the Bible that did that. You might be surprised, but Moses did that. As great as Moses was, did he do that? Did he commit that sin? Yes, he did. Didn't God tell him to speak to the rock? And he smote the rock the second time. Blowing the picture where Jesus was only smitten once, the Rock of Ages smitten for us one time. After you come to Christ, after you're saved, he was smitten for you once. He died on the cross once. After that, you speak to him. He's not going to die for you the second time. Hebrews says he died unto sin once. And Moses broke the type. And God took him up on the mount and killed him and didn't let him go into the promised land. Told him ahead of time about it. Yes, Moses was taken home early over disobeying God. Now, if God would do that to Moses, how you and I ought to shake about our disobedience. I mean, how, if God would allow Moses to do that, how about our testimony today? You know, our testimony after we're saved, we're a big signpost to the world. We're either a good sign or a bad sign for the Lord Jesus Christ. How we live for Him, what others know about us, what our testimony is. And sometimes it's a very, very dangerous thing. A Bible character, there's a fellow by the name of Nabal. He was a bad man over in 1 Samuel 25, I believe it is. And you remember how King David was out there and needed help, and how he blasphemed David, and how God took him home quickly. I'll read the story. It's in your Bible. I don't have time tonight. But when you lift up your tongue against God's man like Nabal did against David, you're on dangerous ground. That's dangerous stuff. Truth of the matter is, I can give you some other examples. How about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5? Didn't they lie to the Holy Spirit of God? Didn't they go home early? Didn't they get buried, right? I mean, right, lying in the church service? Now, I don't think God is quite judging like He did Ananias and Sapphira today. If so, we'd lose some membership, amen? But the truth of the matter is, He can still do that, and you can cross the line with God. If you go back to the Old Testament, go back to the old days, go back to Genesis, go back to Noah, what does the Bible say? You know, man's imagination was only evil from his heart up. God brought the flood, brought the judgment. And you remember what He said? He said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." God can say, "I've drawn a line. Don't cross it. Don't cross it." Or judgment is going to fall. And so there's some lines. There's some lines that the Lord says, don't cross. And I worry a little bit as I study about Josiah there, how he come in, he done right, and God's anger yet was stored up, and it still fell. And I say to America today, look out. I'd like to think maybe we bought some time, maybe we'll buy some more time, but if not, God's judgment is going to fall as He predicted on sin, and America is no VIP among the nations with God. God will still judge us. I point to you some lines that could be crossed. The unpardonable sin in the days of Jesus with the Pharisees. The sin unto death has happened with God's own people when God just said, come on home early. You want a baby? And then there's the damning sin. The damning sin, a line that those cross that reject Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 3:18, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I want to say to you, if you've rejected Christ, you won't believe on Him, you've crossed a line. God's very best that He can give you is hell. Nothing left. Reject Jesus, there's no way to be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And the truth of the matter is, that's the sin that damns. You know, it's the parent, so to speak, of every great sin, of every great sin. You know, when you reject Jesus Christ and what God has said about His Son, you're calling God a liar. I look over in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Call God a liar? That's what it says. Have made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. These words in the Bible are not just written to fill a book. It's what God says and what He warns about, what He thinks. And every bit of it will be fulfilled as God has said. All the way, all the way. I challenge you tonight. If you want to be saved, you probably not very likely at all have committed the unpardonable sin. I know some folks that have great fears of that, but the devil's just using that on them. Just using them. But there's a line you can cross, and that is, as a Christian, you can get to the place God calls you home early. I was a Sunday school teacher a long time before I was a pastor. After I got saved, I dealt with young people. Young people, you're in the danger zone of all the temptations the world flashes in front of you. The flesh says do it. God says don't. You give into the flesh, look out for it. God does chasten those He loves. And even though you've been saved and belong to Him and you give into the flesh, you can look out for the chastening hand of God on your life. I remember one of my young men, he had so much promise. He had so much talent. In my youth group, he could give a great testimony. He could bring a Bible lesson. He could lead singing. And of course, girls, he looked great and all the girls. But you know what? His talent got in his way. He could play instruments. Next thing I knew, he was missing Sunday school. And I found out through the others, he was staying out late on Saturday night and playing his instruments in places he shouldn't have been. And I went to see him about it. He hung his head. He said, I know it's wrong. I know I shouldn't do it. And he told me, I'm not drinking, preacher, but Dolby was around it. He was in the crowd. He was playing the music for him. And didn't call me preacher. I was his youth leader, but he said, Brother Mickey. And I'll be there next Sunday. But he didn't come. And the next Sunday, he didn't come. And the next. And I realized it really got a hold of him. So I went to him again. Went to him again and talked to him on a Saturday afternoon. Next Sunday, he did not show up again. But that time, he didn't show up because he was in the hospital. On the way home, about 1 a.m. on Sunday morning, he hit a telephone pole. Put him in intensive care. All the young people and all of us, we prayed for him. I went to see him. Preacher went to see him. But he died. One of the biggest funerals I've ever seen. Packed out the building, packed out the street. I believe with all my heart, God called him home. Because there was a whole young people's group ready to follow him. He was a leader. They had their eyes on him. And one of them was his brother. That brother later on turned out to be a great servant of the Lord, soul winner, teacher, bus driver, worker, one of my deacons here, till the Lord took him home. I believe with all my heart, if God had not called the other brother home, how many others would have gone? You say, God would do that? Yes, God does it, not because he hates you, but because he loves you. And because he loves the souls of others that he wants you to be a testimony to. You can cross a red line, I believe, with God. I believe somehow. I'm just touching the high places. I'm saying here that God's wrath is stored up against sin. What he said about it, he's going to do. And I see a danger for our country today. Oh, I'm praying that we'll buy a little more time. I'm praying for my grandkids and your grandkids that America will come back to God and honor him. But if we defy him and cross his red line, we can expect exactly what he said would happen. While that might not be a pleasant thought for you, it's a biblical thought. And I gave you an example out of the Old Testament. I could give you some more like that. The sad truth is today America is on the bubble. Which way are we going to go? We're on the fence. Which way are we going to fall? In the next 40 days or whatever's left here, I'm hoping we'll swing back to the right side of things instead of going to the far anti-God, anti-Christian movement that's going on in this country. I hope we'll swing back. But I want to say to you, God's going to win either way. And he's in charge either way. And while I wanted to go to buy some time for our kids, if it goes the other way, God is still in charge. Amen. Are you here tonight? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Do you know if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? Are you here as a believer, as a Christian? Are you on the fence? Are you saying, well, maybe God won't get me for this? I know I've kind of blown my testimony. Well, now's the time to get it right, if you know it. Now's the time to come back in the house clean. Don't go out and dirty up again to where you're going to have to receive the punishment. As a believer, we can walk close to God, be a good testimony for him, or we can give him a bad black eye out there in front of the world. Let's don't do that. I want to say to you, finally, that to reject Jesus Christ is the damning sin. If a man that rejects Jesus Christ, there is no other way to be saved. If you heard the gospel, how God loved you and died for you, you've had a chance to come to Christ and believe and receive him, and you've rejected him, there's no other way you're going to be saved. He that believeth is not condemned. And he that believeth not is condemned already. Don't wait to get in front of God to find out if you're condemned. You know it now. You're saved or you're lost. You're condemned or you're uncondemned, depending on what you've done with Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me, please, and let's all stand. Father, we come to you in prayer. Commit the invitation to you. Ask your blessing for us to consider what we took from the Word tonight. Father, we recognize that you brought your judgment. You gave a time. And then, Father, that wrath fell. I pray for our nation tonight, Father. I pray for our churches. I pray for our Christian people. I pray that we take what you say about sin for real. Take it seriously. I pray if there's one in the building tonight without Christ, as we give an invitation, that they'd come even tonight and receive him as Savior. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender. Forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Invitation's still open. If the Lord is speaking to you about doing something, you can. Probably with our attendance tonight, our basic church perhaps, the point about not being a disobedient Christian, not being called home early, is what we ought to pray and measure in our lives. Be a good testimony for the Lord. Yes, chastening is part of growing in the Lord and serving the Lord. I don't know about you, but through my Christian life, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit moved inside, and like a little policeman on the inside, he says, this is right and this is wrong. And the truth is, we hear somebody say, well, that grieved the Holy Spirit. That's very real. Could you say you know what the grieving of the Holy Spirit is? I do. Sometimes it's not a sin of commission, but it's a sin of omission. Something I should have done, didn't do. That's where we most get in trouble, isn't it? Say, well, the Lord convicted me to say something to somebody and I didn't do it. That's pretty common. But because it's common, don't excuse it. I've known two or three stories where somebody felt led of the Lord. Man was eating in a restaurant. He felt very much led of the Lord to talk to the male waiter that was waiting on him, but he didn't. But he was so convicted, he walked out of the restaurant and walked a ways. And within a few minutes, he came back. And he went in and said, where's the man that waited on me tonight? I've got to say something to him. And the manager said, I'm afraid you're too late. After he served you, he went in the back and committed suicide. That really happened. Boy, Boy, when the Lord speaks to us and says do something, that's the time to do it, isn't it? Right then, right then. All right, we'll... Let me see. Brother Parsons, we better get our announcements right here. You're wanting to meet now with teachers and workers up in the Victory Room. And just a little while, then you'll not hold you long. And going over to the Brother David Canales' fellowship party over there. And then after that, supposed to be volleyball practice. That's just for folks that's young and strong and don't have to go to work early in the morning, right? All right. That don't include you staff. You got to go to work early in the morning. Amen. All right. Good to have you. If you're visiting with us tonight, we're glad to have you. Amen. Turn around and shake hands or salute or whatever you want to do. Let's be dismissed.